Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Eleonora Ippoliti and I, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme this week, Eleonora continues her report on the inaugural European Championships from Azerbaijan with interviews from Chief Ireland Karate Coach Leo Mulvaney and Ladies 3x3 Basketball Captain Susan Maguire. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some great music for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. The increase in suicides and depression among the elderly and very young needs to be urgently addressed. That's according to Sinn Féin MEP Leah Ní Riada. She also states that rural isolation is causing depression and sometimes leading to people taking their own lives. The Ireland South MEP is calling for a nationwide effort to coordinate mental health initiatives. Ms Ní Riada was recently visited in the European Parliament by a delegation of voluntary groups and organisations involved in mental health programmes.
Suicide and depression is affecting people of all ages, and what was horrifying, I found, was the level of suicide among the elderly, because they feel they're a burden on the state, they feel they're a burden on their families. These are people that have paid their taxes all their lives and they're taking their lives, and you think, that's completely unacceptable in this day and age. And it's the same as well, it goes down to very young children being depressed and looking for a way out. We have to do something, it's crisis.
The risk of Greece defaulting on its bailout loans is increasing following a failure this week to reach an agreement on key reforms. The IMF dramatically pulled out of talks with Greece yesterday after accusing Athens of failing to agree on labour market and pension reforms. However, the independent MEP Marion Harkin, who spoke about Greece in the European Parliament this week, says the demands being made by the EU and the IMF are impossible to meet.
You've got to give the country a chance to get back on its feet, a period of time when it can do that. I think the problem is Greece has huge deep-seated problems and they're not going to be corrected in a space of 2 or 3 years. This is a 20-year project, and to expect too much too soon is doomed to failure. And that's the problem we face. It's not that Greece hasn't responsibilities. They have. But to expect more that they can give and more than is possible, and that's what we've done, then that's doomed to failure. It's going nowhere.
The government here needs to introduce laws that will cap media ownership in Ireland. That's the call being made by the independent MEP Nessa Childers. She was speaking in the European Parliament, which has previously debated media ownership and freedom of expression issues in EU countries such as Hungary and Italy. Ms Childers says she's concerned about the number of media outlets that are owned by the billionaire businessman Dennis O'Brien.
I think there needs to be legislation to prevent, legally prevent, people owning more than a certain percentage, is it 20% of a media outlet. It's not enough for people to be saying, no, they're not going to buy TV3, as INM have said, it's highly unlikely. That isn't the issue. That feeds, if you like, gossip, but they shouldn't be able to.
The European Parliament recently voted for better governance at FIFA. MEPs overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling for a zero-tolerance policy on corruption in football. The MEPs welcomed the resignation of the former FIFA president Sepp Blatter, and they called on the Federation to appoint an interim president to replace him. The Fine Gael MEP is Sean Kelly, who's the former president of the GAA, says a range of changes needs to be made at the very top levels of FIFA.
One of the things we are proposing, for instance, is there should be a time limit on those who serve on the boards. We have it, for instance, in the GAA for years. It works well. They haven't it at FIFA. We saw there where Blatter was going for the fifth consecutive election. That's not good for any organisation.
Stories about the Irish economic recovery are being exaggerated at a European level. That's according to the Sinn Féin MEP Matt Carty. Mr Carty raised the issue of home repossessions in Ireland when he spoke in the European Parliament this week. The MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency says Europeans don't realise that austerity measures are still taking their toll on people at home.
I believe European leaders want to believe the Irish government narrative that we're in recovery and that things are looking up again for everybody in Ireland. And they want to believe that because the alternative is their policies failed. But the reality is that their politics did fail huge amounts of Irish people. We are still suffering as a result of huge emigration. We have hundreds of thousands less young people in our country as a result of the policies that have been championed at the European level and too happily implemented by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments. The fact of the matter is that most of the counties in my constituency haven't benefited. They haven't seen the lift in terms of any economic growth.
The billionaire businessman Dennis O'Brien is entitled to privacy on his banking deals with the IBRC. That's the view of the Fine Gael MEP Brian Hayes, who was speaking in the European Parliament in Strasbourg. Mr. Hayes says he believes there has been no wrongdoing in any deals between the IBRC and Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. O'Brien may be very wealthy. People may not like that. He might have a lot of control in the country, but he is a citizen like anyone else. And I think we have got to apply the same rules to him as we do to everyone else. Otherwise, we're on a very dangerous slope whereby we can actually discard rules for some people. Now, what's happening in the Dáil, I think, is a good thing. I think it is right and proper that the government has set up a commission of investigation. It needs to get to the facts of this case very quickly. I don't believe there's wrongdoing. I think there's a lot of political innuendo. I think a lot of this is ramped up in the run-up to the elections.
A controversial state dispute mechanism that's being included in the EU-US trade negotiations is necessary. That's according to the independent MEP, Marion Harkin. She was referring to the investor state dispute settlement mechanism known as the ISDS. The European Parliament this week postponed a key debate and vote on the transatlantic trade and investment partnership talks because of differences among MEPs over the ISDS. It enables companies and investors to take legal action against countries if they believe their laws are hindering their operations there. Marion Harkin says there's no need for any ISDS mechanisms between the EU and the US.
The problem is that in recent times, we have seen large companies like Philip Morris, for example, use ISDS to sue a government about plain packaging on tobacco and cigarette packets. Now, they may or may not win that, but they have a vehicle to bring it. And that causes huge concern to people. So what do we need this for? It's not necessary between the EU and the US.
The European Commission has announced plans to reform corporation tax. The proposal will stop big EU-based companies shifting their profits to financial havens like islands in the Caribbean and the South Pacific to avoid paying tax. Member states like Ireland will remain free to set their own corporation tax rates. Speaking in Brussels this morning, Finance Commissioner Pierre Moscovici says it's only fair that large companies pay tax in the EU if that is where they generate their profits.
It is unacceptable that certain multinationals make large profits in the EU but pay little or no tax inside our borders. This goes against even the most basic idea of fairness. It is unacceptable. Companies must pay a fair level of tax where they generate their profits, but there's less clarity on how to achieve this.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
This is Eleonora Ippoliti for Europe Today. This week, we continue to talk about the European Games. We focused on the non-Olympic sports, and Ireland participates in the karate and basketball 3x3. Karen Dolphin, the kata champion at the British Open in 2014, competed in Baku on Sunday, 14th of June. For that occasion, we spoke with Leo Mulvaney, Chief Instructor of Itosukai Karatido Ireland. Welcome, Leo.
How are you?
Fine, yeah. How are you?
Good. I'm great, thanks.
First of all, let's clarify briefly what Itosukai Karatido means to our listeners.
Itoutsakai Karate Do Ireland is an association. We were founded in 1976, and our roots are back to Japan and Okinawa. We are affiliated to our parent association in Yokohama, Japan, and we are also affiliated to the national governing body for karate in Ireland, ONAKAI. And really, it's very similar to many other associations in Ireland. The main ones would be Shotokan and Kenpo and Wataru. So we would, in Japan terms, we would be one of the four main styles of karate coming out of Japan.
Which style would you practice in Ireland, sir?
Commonly, we would have come out of Shitoryu Itotsukai in Japan. And in Japan, that association is called Itotsukai, Itotsuru Japan Karate Do. So in Ireland, we follow the same lineage and the same title. So in Ireland, we are Itotsukai Karate Do Ireland.
So we know that the entering of karate in the European Games, it's a huge step for Ireland. So what does it mean, the entering of this sport in the European Games for the sport itself?
Yeah, it was one of the, I think there were four sports in the European Games that were on show for the upcoming Olympics. So from that point of view, it's very important, not just for Itotsukai Karate Do Ireland, but for karate in general in Ireland and the rest of the world. Karate is currently not an Olympic sport. So the Baku Games were kind of a showcase because the Olympic Council would have been viewing karate with that in mind. So hopefully they were impressed and we may be in the upcoming Olympics. So it's very important. It's very important that competitors competed well and it was good sportsmanship. But if the sport is accepted into the Olympics, then that changes the landscape for karate on a global basis completely.
Okay, yeah, we hope so that karate will enter into the Olympic competition.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we know that Miss Karen Dolphin, the karate athlete, competed yesterday. So how did she go?
She competed very well and she performed very well. If there was such a thing as a personal best, we could apply that to Karen's performance yesterday. But unfortunately, competition is really, really high in Spiff. And she did very well, but unfortunately, she didn't place in the medals. But she certainly represented Ireland to the best of her abilities. So we're very proud of her.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So that's important that she competed and she did well.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, thank you very much, Sir Leo Mulvaney. So thank you for your time and your interview. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for contacting me.
The other new sport in which Team Ireland is competing is basketball 3x3. We also spoke with Ireland senior 3x3 captain Suzanne McGuire. We asked her when they are leaving for Baku.
So we're flying out to Baku tomorrow morning as we don't start competition until the following Tuesday. So we depart Dublin tomorrow and arrive then in Baku very early on Friday morning.
Okay, yeah. And are you excited about the next competition?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I suppose when we started off on this journey, it wasn't really known where we would end up or could possibly end up when we started the qualification process. It was just good to participate in the 3v3. But I suppose as we went from Latvia and progressed then through to Bucharest, it became more apparent that qualification would mean a spot at the first European Games. So and to qualify, it's been brilliant. So yeah, as we're getting closer now and the games have started and you can actually start to watch it on TV and see it, I think we're all very excited to get out there and be part of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so what does it mean for the 3x3 basketball competing in the European Games?
I think for basketball, certainly for women's basketball in Ireland, I think it's a huge thing. The association put a lot of effort behind getting participation for the 3v3 when we started over a year ago. But we haven't had a women's international team for quite some time. So I think to be back on the European stage, even in the 3v3 format, is huge for women's basketball in Ireland, and hopefully a step towards getting our full teams back into European competition. So for the profile of the game and for our participation in Europe and being represented on the European stage, I think it's huge. And, you know, to be there at the first European Games, I think it's a great opportunity for us to do something, hopefully.
And how much preparation have you been doing for the competition?
Well, the preparation has been since, I suppose, since qualification. Then we've had, like, the players have had, like, a season of basketball, of very high competition basketball. One of our players plays in Spain, and the other three of us play in the league in Ireland. Since coming in into the summer, there's been regular training sessions that we've gone to. We've had a second 3v3 team work with us. We were in Hungary last weekend at a 3v3 tournament. We've individually then, I suppose, players have had strength and conditioning coaches, have done some work themselves while, you know, because we live in different geographical locations, so working on various things themselves. So there's certainly been a lot of effort put into preparing the team for this trip, but what individuals have done themselves and as a collective unit, and we've had, like I said, a preparation tournament last weekend in Hungary, which was very beneficial for us. So I think we're in good stead going out. You always think you could do more, but, you know, here we are, we're on the eve of departing. So I think we're prepared and ready to go.
In your opinion, who's the team to watch?
It's difficult. I mean, it's difficult to say. 3v3 is a very different beast than regular basketball.
Okay.
And, you know, on a day or on the day, I think any team can perform well. I mean, lots of teams, we've played a number of the teams who are going to be out there. Some have switched up their players than what we may have seen before. A lot of them are professional basketball players. But I think what we've learned over the course of qualifying here is the type of skill that's required to be successful in 3v3. It's a different type of skill and a different type of fitness and a different type of player sometimes than those that are very successful at the full court regular 5v5 basketball. So, I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there, and I just think it's hard to pinpoint there. You know, it's down to 16. You have to watch all of them. You have to win all games, prepared to play hard. Hopefully with a little bit of luck that you make a few shots and focus for, you know, those 10 minutes. It's a very short game. It's a very fast game. It turns around and you can take off or you can lose it very quickly. So it's difficult to kind of pinpoint particular teams because lots of them are very strong. And like I said, from the ones that we're aware of, players have changed from what we would have seen before. So I'm not sure who to say to watch out for. I think that would be maybe disrespectful to the other teams because I think, you know, it's going to be a fantastic tournament and everyone has a chance to do well.
The team you are playing against, I think it's Slovenia, the first one.
Yes, so our first game will be on Tuesday. So, and we play both. So in our pool, we have Slovenia, Slovakia and Spain.
Spain, okay.
So on that first day, we play both Slovenia and Slovakia. And the following day, we play Spain. So we've met the Slovakian team before in a tournament, lost marginally to them. And we've seen the Slovenian team before play. So, you know, we've experienced those two teams. So again, you know, they're games that we're certainly going after. The Spanish team we haven't seen before and know that they're a quality side. They'd be the highest ranked one in our pool. So again, that's going to be a challenge, but, you know, not one that we're not prepared to go after. So exciting. It's a decent enough pool, but like I said, all the pools are challenging. All the teams are good. So it's all relative, really.
Suzanne, what do you think will be the effects of your participation in the European Games on the future of this type of basketball?
I think from again when we started this, when it did start, and the invitation out to teams to and personnel to come to the first 3v3 tournament, and you know, at that particular point, there was no vision as to where this was going. It was just something that was being encouraged by Basketball Ireland and obviously being supported by FIBA. And I think that progression, I think over the course of the last year and a bit, I think leading up to this point now and the fact that we'll be out there and the visibility of the games in Baku and the occasion that it will be and the coverage, I just think in general it's going to hopefully kind of create a great buzz around about basketball in general in Ireland, but also this type of basketball. And depending on how well we do, and maybe not even depending on how well we do, the fact of qualifying for such a large scale games is something that for basketball we haven't done it on that level before. So to think that in the 3v3 space we could participate, that we could qualify, that we could be at these types of events, competing against these types of teams, I think would be a great motivator for people to come out, for the basketball team to come out in force, to participate and to look to, you know, towards these types of events going forward. I think there's a great future behind 3v3. I think it's been supported heavily. It's a great variation of the game. It's a lot of fun to play, and I hope and the events that we've participated in have been, you know, great. So for me, I'd like to think that the coverage of the games in Baku, us being there, will get a great momentum behind 3v3 and resonate, I suppose, with the Irish basketball community, that we get more people participating because there is that goal. There is those sorts of events that we can participate in and qualify for. So I'm very optimistic and I hope it has a positive effect.
Okay, yep. And we are optimistic as well, Suzanne. And I think everybody are proud of you for your qualification. And we wish you the best of luck for your competitions.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on today.
J'ai retrouvé le sourire quand j'ai vu le bout du tunnel où nous mènera ce jeu du mâle et de la femelle. Du mâle et de la femelle. On était tellement complices, on a brisé nos complexes pour te faire comprendre. T'avais juste à lever le cil. T'avais juste à lever le cil. J'étais prêt à graver ton image à l'encre noire sous mes paupières. Afin de te voir, même dans un sommeil éternel. Même dans un sommeil éternel. Même dans un sommeil éternel. J'étais censé t'aimer, mais j'ai vu l'inverse. J'ai cligné tes yeux, tu n'étais plus la même. Est-ce que je t'aime? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Est-ce que tu m'aimes? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Je t'aime. Est-ce que tu m'aimes? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Pour t'éviter de souffrir, je n'avais qu'à te dire je t'aime. Ça m'a fait mal de te faire mal. Je n'ai jamais autant souffert. Je n'ai jamais autant souffert. Quand je t'ai mis la bague au doigt, je me suis passé les bracelets. Pendant ce temps, le temps passe et je subis tes balivernes. Et je subis tes balivernes. J'étais prêt à graver ton image à l'encre noire sous mes paupières. Afin de te voir même dans un sommeil éternel. Même dans un sommeil éternel. Même dans un sommeil éternel. J'étais censé t'aimer mais j'ai vu l'inverse. J'ai cligné tes yeux, tu n'étais plus la même. Est-ce que je t'aime? Je sais pas si je t'aime.
moi si je t'aime.
Je me suis fait mal en m'envolant, je n'avais pas vu le plafond de verre. Tu me trouverais ennuyeux si je t'aimais à ta manière. Si je t'aimais à ta manière. Si je t'aimais à ta manière. J'étais censé t'aimer, mais j'ai vu l'inverse. J'ai cligné tes yeux, tu n'étais plus la même. Est-ce que je t'aime? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Je sais pas si je t'aime. J'étais censé t'aimer, mais j'ai vu l'inverse. J'ai cligné tes yeux, tu n'étais plus la même. Est-ce que je t'aime? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Est-ce que tu m'aimes? Je sais pas si je t'aime. Je sais pas si je t'aime.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to our guests, Leo Mulvaney from Karate Ireland and ladies 3x3 basketball captain Suzanne Maguire. If you want to get in contact with the programme, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. Or you can text us on 087-977-1032. 087-977-1032. And of course, don't forget to check out our website support platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and a link to the various items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week, and your programme Europe Today.